Last Sunday, we had quite a bit of snow on the ground. We still had our service here, and we had our grand opening of our basement. A few years of renovations has finally been complete, and we actually held service in the downstairs. And it was such a nice kind of home feeling, you know, kind of when churches first start out in homes, or the early church was meeting in homes. It was that similar type of feeling there, and it was just wonderful to have us together. And we had a bit of a different format there. We had worship, and then we all read scripture together in turn, and then we discussed that. And today I'm going to be preaching on kind of a primer of what we started last week in our discussions. And we've been focusing kind of on the fundamentals of church life. The first Sunday I preached on love and how there's nothing greater than love. We need the love of Christ in us. We need the love of Christ in our church. It's the foundation of what we build on, the love of Christ. And without love, we are nothing. We can't achieve nothing. Everything is kind of meaningless if we don't do it with the love that Christ has in us and through us. Anybody remember what the second sermon, foundational sermon we looked at? House of Prayer. Amen, Lucas. Yes, my man. We looked at how the church is a house of prayer. We need to keep praying, keep pushing forward in prayer. You know, when Jesus went into the temple and he saw the money changers and the business booths going on there, what did he do? He made a whip. He started overturning those tables and kicking out all these money changers and merchants. He said, "You have made the house of my Father into a house of thieves, a den of thieves. It's supposed to be a house of prayer, right?" So we keep praying. And then what did I preach on last time? You guys remember? Call to be holy. Amen. And we looked at 1 Peter, a call to be holy, chapter 1, and what that means to live a holy life. First and foremost, we're called to be holy because God is holy. And if we aren't holy in ourselves, but we are holy in Jesus Christ. And daily, it is a choice for us to be holy. It's a battle that takes place in our mind against our flesh, right? We have a choice to flee from temptation and sin. We're called to do that. We're called to be a holy people, meaning set apart for God as His church, His people, and to be holy because He is holy. And yes, we're imperfect. We do fall. We do stumble. We do sin. But that is where the wonderful grace of God catches us. The blood of Christ continually cleanses us from all sin. And we must have that humble, repentant state of heart in front of our God. And today we're going to continue in 1 Peter chapter 2. And the title of the sermon is Living Stones of a Spiritual House. And we discussed this a little bit last Sunday in our downstairs home-style meeting. Yeah, there was a time in my life where I did not want to go to church. I did not like to go to church. I wanted to just sleep in, have a lazy Sunday. Anybody been there before? Yeah, I think we've all been in that type of state and mind frame in our life at some point. But something changed at some point in my life. I love coming to church. I love gathering with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I love being in the house of the Lord. I love worshiping here. I love seeing you guys, hearing your voices lifted up, exalting Him, and just being in the presence of our Lord and Savior. And it's just wonderful to gather. But it's not that the church changed that I desired and liked to come to church. But it's something that changed in me. It was a transformation that took place in my heart, in my mind. When true spiritual rebirth takes place, when we're regenerated spiritually and God cleanses us from all sin and puts his Holy Spirit in us. And we begin to desire to be in his presence. We begin to desire to be holy. We begin to have these new desires to just serve him, to be obedient to his word, and to come together. It's all his work that he does in the transformation of our hearts. And he begins that through the work of other people, through his word, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it changes our attitude towards church. And it's healthy. You see, all of us, each of our attitudes, our hearts, affect the church. Have you ever thought about that? Your attitude, your heart towards the church affects the church. Why is that? Well, it's because the church isn't a building. Yes, we're blessed with an awesome, wonderful, unique building here in Vancouver in a great location. But it's not just a physical place that's the church. 1920 Church isn't just a building. You see, it's us. It's every single one of us. It's you and I. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. If you have your Bibles, open up with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Let's read that again. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I love to kind of think of this the same way that Lego works. Who likes playing with Lego? Yes, okay, some hands quickly went up. That was actually one of the highlights of having kids, you know, you get to kind of play with Lego again and collect it and stuff, and now we have too much of it that we don't know what to do with it, right? But it's kind of like Lego. We're fit together to build up a spiritual house, a church, a temple, a spiritual temple of God. And you can't build a Lego house out of just a handful of bricks, right? Or what happens if you start missing bricks out of the house? It begins to look like Swiss cheese, right? If blocks are missing, it's not a good thing. There's holes everywhere, and the structure is actually weakened. And friends, that's the same way it similarly works as living blocks. We're built up as a spiritual house. You're a part of this church. And if you don't attend regularly, then easily church begins to look like Swiss cheese. Your presence at the church is more important than you may realize. Did you know that just your presence here blesses everyone else? It encourages all of us, because the church is whole then. When you're not here, you're missed. Did you know that? You are missed when you're not here. When you're here, you're a blessing to that new person who walks in through the church doors. When you're here, you're blessing the person sitting next to you in the pew right now. When you're here, you're a blessing to the children and the youth of this church, because we need each other in order to stand as a spiritual house of God. It requires all of us. Every single one of us is important and essential. God has made us all into living stones. When we come together, that is where 1920 Church is. It takes all of us together to build this church in Jesus Christ. And each one of our attitudes towards church affects every person, because in reality, that's the attitude we have towards one another. Because the church isn't a building or an institution, but the church is us, and it takes all of us to be the church. Ephesians chapter 2, 19 to 22 says, "So now you are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Jesus, is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit." Think how incredible that is. That's just amazing. Yes, Jesus is the head of the church. Yes, Jesus is the chief cornerstone that everything is built upon. And if we remove that cornerstone, if we remove Jesus Christ from church, that building crumbles. It's no longer the church of Jesus. But together we make up his house. We are carefully joined together in him to become a holy temple for the Lord, where God lives by his Spirit. This is serious stuff, guys. Before the New Testament, the Old Testament, God dwelled in the Holy of Holies, the very innermost part of the temple. And you couldn't go in there. Only the high priest could go in there. And if you went in there, you were struck dead in his presence. But now it says, we are fit together in Christ Jesus, carefully put together, joined together to become a holy temple where God lives by his Spirit. Man, that's incredible. We are the living stones that build the church. What then? Do we just sit here like cinder blocks, stacked up on each other? No, of course not. Because we're not dead stones. It says we're what? Living stones. And when something is living, it implies what? There's action. There's energy. There's growth. There's health. There's life. Peter writes that not only are we made into living stones to be built up into a spiritual house, but also a holy priesthood. Holy priesthood that offers spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You see, church, Jesus gave his very life so that we can be made into his church. That's how important the church is to God, to Jesus. He paid for it by his blood that he shed on the cross. Jesus died on the cross so that we can have our sins forgiven. Every single one of us has broken the law of God. If you've lied, if you had lust in your heart, if you've stolen, if you've had false idols, anything more important than God in your life, you've sinned against God. That's just a handful of the Ten Commandments. And the Word says that even if we break one commandment, we're guilty of breaking the whole entire law of God. But the good news is, Jesus took our sins upon himself, carried them to the cross, died in our place, taking our sin, our punishment for our sins upon himself. And he shed his blood so that we are forgiven. See, the Bible says in order for sins to be forgiven, there must be a shedding of blood. And that was done finally for all time and eternity in Jesus Christ as a final atonement for our sins, so that we can be washed white as snow, so that we can be blameless and holy because of Jesus Christ. And that makes it possible for God to place His Holy Spirit in us, to dwell on us as His church, as His people, because we have been cleansed of all sin. And this marks us as His own, belonging to God, separated for Himself, those who are saved. Not because of anything we have done or I have done, but because of what Jesus has done. He has paid the price for our sins. And it's because of Jesus that we are, through His grace and mercy, His church. It's through Jesus that we're made into saints, His holy priesthood. You see, I used to think that it was only the apostles or the prophets that could be called saints or the holy priesthood. But in fact, it's anyone who has been washed by the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Every true believer is made into a saint, a part of the holy priesthood of God. Doesn't that just blow your mind? And as saints and part of the holy priesthood, we have duties. First, we are to, as 1 Peter 2:9 says, proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You see, we're to declare the awesomeness of God to other people. We're to do good in the name of Jesus Christ so people see our good deeds and give glory to the Father. We're to proclaim the awesomeness of the kingdom of heaven, the wonders of His love, His mighty grace, His mercy, His righteousness, His glory, His holiness, just how all-powerful He is. And we're to tell of the excellent news of the kingdom of heaven, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there's eternal life in all who come to Jesus. And second, we're to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. This is from 1 Peter 2:11. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. And this ties into holy living, guys. Resisting sin, fighting the battle in our minds against our flesh to flee from temptation and sin. And we're to do good to our neighbors in the name of Jesus Christ. It's like 1 Peter 2:1 says, put away all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and envy and all slander. And like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. And third, we're to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And what does it mean to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God? Well, let's turn to Romans 12, verses 1 to 2. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Often when we think of the word sacrifice, we think of it as a negative thing, right? It's often associated with death and something gruesome. In the Old Testament, animals were sacrificed. Lambs and bulls were sacrificed. In the New Testament, Jesus Himself was sacrificed as a final atoning sacrifice for our sins. But in this scripture, it's brought to a whole new light of what sacrifice is for us. To offer a spiritual sacrifice to God is to offer up our bodies as a living sacrifice to Him. This is talking about a new life of a Christian. The word bodies here refers to Christians as a whole person, both body and soul belonging to God. Meaning that we now offer our whole life to God. And this is a holy and pleasing to God. It's a proper response of worship to Him. So think about it. Every morning when you get up, you offer your body as a living sacrifice. What are we sacrificing? We're sacrificing our plans. We sacrifice our desires. We sacrifice our will. We place our life into His hands. We serve His kingdom and not this world. What we're really saying is, Lord, here is my life. Let your will be done in my life and not my own will. And it actually takes a load of pressure off of us, knowing that we are walking in His good and pleasing will for our life. You know, when I was a young man, I used to just want to do my own thing and just push through my own will in life. I was trying to find for purpose and happiness and so many wrong places, and I finally got to the end of my rope, and it felt like I was just hitting my head against a concrete wall. All my plans, though there was moments of happiness, it did not come into a lasting fruition of purpose and joy and happiness and fulfillment. No, that didn't take place till I gave my entire life into the hands of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, He knows us better than we know ourselves. I've said this many times. He knows the desires of your heart, and He fulfills those in ways we cannot even think or dream about. So what is worship? Well, yeah, worship is when we come together like this and sing songs. But that's just a very small part of worship. Worship is offering ourselves up as living sacrifices, right? Just what we're talking about. Finding our significance, our purpose, our identity in Jesus Christ. And as we do that, Jesus is living in us, and we're living in Christ. So living sacrifice means that we sacrifice ourselves, our own plans, our own desires. We use our giftings, what we have been given, and we ask Christ to live in us and through us. And what He does is He takes those plans, those desires that we have, and He makes them even better in ways that we never thought possible. He makes them clear. He gives us direction. He gives us purpose. He helps us understand who we are. And that's when we begin to understand what God's perfect will is for us in our lives. When we allow Him to do that, when we submit to Him. You know, my wife is just a wonderful gift in my life. I had relationships, obviously, before her. That was one of my dreams, is to be married, to be a family man, to have kids. And when I met my wife, you know, I kind of went through a mental checklist of what I look for, what the ideal woman would be. And the woman that God put in my life, when I followed His will, every single check on that checklist was knocked off, and many more. When you allow God to work in your life and to lead you, He truly fills the desires of your heart. Essentially, our worship is our life, guys. Everything we do is worship. The Bible says whether we eat or drink, do it in worship of Him. Do it for the honor of God, for His glory. That is worship. So getting back to 1 Peter 2:5, through Jesus Christ we're made into living stones that are built up to be a spiritual house, His holy priesthood. And as a spiritual house and a priesthood, together we offer our lives to Him and to serve Him. And it's in His will that we not only serve Him, but we serve each other. The church, The Bible talks about the church as a body of believers, a community. And like a body is made up of different parts and members, a church is as well. A part of our spiritual act of worship is to be a part of the church body and serve one another here. Romans 12:3 says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, through many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." Wow. Amazing. Paul was writing to the church in Rome that it is time to take all the different gifts God had given them and to use them to serve one another and to serve him as his church. And what was happening is that there were people in the Roman church who were thinking that, well, the church should serve me. That I'm in this stage of life where I no longer need to do, but I should be served, or my economic standing is so high that, you know, people should kind of serve me. But Paul is telling us that we should all be using our giftings to serve in the local body of the church. What we need to understand is that God has created each and every one of us to come together in his body to contribute to the body. We all have something to offer, something to contribute. God has blessed you with a gift. He has blessed you with possessions to use for the body, to use for his kingdom and his glory. And that's such a really cool part of Christian life. God has actually given us gifts to serve one another with. Every one of the gifts we have is a gift from God. And not one gift is better than the other. You know, it was such a joy to come yesterday morning to the men's breakfast, and I walked into the fellowship hall, and things were just set up and done. It blessed me to see people there serving. And when we all come together, many of us, it makes light work, right? Many hands make light work. And I did feel kind of guilty, you know, think, oh man, I kind of got here late, everything's done. I still had things to do, but Gimbo then said to me, "Brother, don't worry. You've done this many times. We got this one." And that was just so gracious and loving, but it just blessed me to see people contributing as a church for the glory of God and to serve one another. You know, all too easily we fall into this consumerism Christian mentality. We start to focus on, okay, what am I getting out of church? Are my needs being met? Or I've put in my time many years and I'm here to kind of soak it all in now. But really what that soaking means is you're kind of a bench warmer. And it's not the right way of doing church. Yes, it's important that we're taught God's word at church. Yes, it's important that we're fed spiritually at church. Yes, it's important that we grow at church. But you know, that doesn't just happen by being a bench warmer. It doesn't happen just by consuming. We learn by not only hearing, but also what? Doing. We are fed only by eating, right? But what happens if we just eat and don't move? I think you all know what happens, right? But we actually healthily grow by moving, by eating and moving, being challenged and stretched. It's not about just receiving, but also contributing. It's about serving. It's about teamwork. And that is where so much of the spiritual growth happens, guys. So I want to encourage you. If you have this conviction or desire to want to start contributing in church, do so. There's many areas that we need help. From hospitality ministries to children ministries, Sunday school ministries, to getting spaces ready, to painting walls like Enrique's been doing here. If you haven't noticed, he's been painting the side hall here. You know, there's so many places to contribute. Get involved in our prayer ministry team. There's so many things that we can look at. And, you know, we're working on this next steps table that we want to put in the hallway where you can go and see what different ministries we're looking for people. You know, we need people in audio, video. We need people in social media. So many areas. Running the camera for our live stream now that we've started. So I want to just encourage you, be involved in church life. Contribute to the body. It's about teamwork. If we want to see the church growing and being healthy, to thrive, to see God's purpose fulfilled, we need to work together. We need to seek for the purpose and the vision that God has given us as 1920 Church. And that is to reach this neighborhood with the gospel, to see our neighbors saved and baptized. I know that we have a unique calling to love our neighbor, to do good in the name of Jesus Christ, to help the needy, to love the unlovable, to reach the hurting and the lost. I'm so proud that we see that reflected in our hearts and our generosity and giving in this church of both time and money. Pray for the church, pray for the community, pray for the Holy Spirit to move among us, and let's not give up, guys. Yes, there are seasons where we need to rest, and we do that, we rest, we ask for help, we get brothers and sisters alongside ourselves to help. I believe God has a wonderful plan for this church. We've just seen the beginning of it. And God is going to do a mighty move in Vancouver. Who believes that? To see people saved in this city. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters. It's wonderful to see that hope. And I love this idea that we're living stones built up together in Christ. Don't forget that we're living stones built up together in Christ. A holy people set apart as his priesthood. Now, the Bible teaches that Jesus is the head of the church and we are the body. But think about, however, if we claim to love the head but not the body, there is something wrong. So let's love the body. Let's love the head, Christ Jesus above all else, and allow God to birth excitement about his church and what he is doing here. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word this morning. We thank you that it penetrates our hearts. Yes, it's convicting. Yes, it's challenging. Yes, our flesh wants to resist. But Lord, we know that it is a noble calling, a holy calling with purpose that goes beyond this life into the eternity. And Lord, we know there's purpose because we want to see the people in this world saved, snatched out of the fires, brought into eternal life in you, Jesus. We don't want to see anybody on the road to destruction because of their sins. So Lord, we want to put our hand to the plow. to do the work of your kingdom. And Lord, we want to do that together. Lord, we just pray that you would speak to each one of us to put a desire to serve, to contribute in your church, to find a place. Lord, we pray that you would reveal giftings to us, and we pray for spiritual giftings as your word asks, that we should long for spiritual gifts and to see them operating for edification of your body, your church. So, Lord, we ask for these giftings of prophecy, of showing mercy, of healing, of teaching, whatever it may be, Lord, give to us giftings according to your perfect desire and will. And Lord, help us to use them for your glory, to not think too highly of ourselves, to be humble before you and before one another. And Lord, we thank you that you have made us into living stones, built up together to make up the spiritual house of the Lord, where your spirit dwells. You're an awesome God. We worship you. Lord, we pray for our community around this church, our neighbors, so many people who do not know you, that they could come to know you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would do work in their hearts, convicting them of their sins, and to bring them to you, Jesus. Lord, we pray that you would send people through these doors, the church, so that we could tell them about you, Jesus. We pray that you would send people into everyday life, at work, when we're at the store, at school, at home, where we could testify about you, Jesus, to bring the living hope of Christ to them. And Lord, let us do it with love, your love. Pour out your Spirit on us, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and lead us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Every day, we bless each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.